we present Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glenn Jones. Episode 3, Breach of Contract, featuring this week's special guests, Amy MacDonald and Richard Waters.
Now, Kitty, don't distress yourself.
I know. I'm sorry to be so stupid, Nora. But honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh.
I mean, she's definitely suing me.
Well, just wait till Roger gets here. He's a barrister. He'll have the whole thing sorted out in no time.
Yes, but I can't bother him. Even if he is your son.
Oh, he'll be delighted, Kitty. You see, I mean, law's a vocation. You're called like a nun. Now, this photo of him in his wig and robes, now, doesn't that give you heart?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Of course it does. It's like when the doctor arrives. He hasn't done anything, but you feel better already, don't you?
That's right. Oh, I must say, Nora, your Roger looks very imposing.
Oh, doesn't he? I can hardly believe it when I think back to him in a romper suit with a little bit of his white rubber knickers showing.
Are you sure he'll come here tonight?
Oh, quite sure, dear. He always calls to see me on Friday nights. Has done ever since he went to law school. Every Friday night without fail.
What a wonderful son.
Yes, I'm very proud of him.
Well, if he could advise me. But you must promise, Nora, you won't tax him if he's tired. I've seen court cases on television and never ever getting up and sitting down. It must be quite exhausting.
Oh, there he is. Didn't I say every Friday night? Excuse me. Hello, darling.
Hello, madam. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm dead on my feet.
Oh, I'm sure you are, dear. All that getting up and sitting down. Do try and draw a little reserve of strength. I've got Miss Doyle here.
Miss Doyle?
Yes, she runs a small kennel near the watermill. I told her so much about you, and she's dying to meet you.
Oh, really?
Well, everyone's interested in barristers, you know.
Yes, well, we do seem to be getting quite a fan club.
Come on, then. Kitty, this is my son, Roger. Miss Doyle.
How do you do?
I've just been looking at your photograph. It's a splendid costume.
Oh, yes, that one, yes. Well, when you're first called to the bar, you think you cut no end of a dash. Practically go to sleep in the thing. Now, well, it's just working, Tom.
Have you come straight from court, dear?
No, I wasn't in court today.
Not another day off?
Day off? Of course not, Mother. I'm studying some briefs at Chambers.
Such a grand word, Chambers, but it's really only a small room he shares with another young man.
Mother, he's not another young man. Henry's been called in 2 years. I find it very helpful being in the same room. We can discuss cases together.
Like Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Have a sherry, darling.
Well, that's the strongest brew you can offer.
Oh, just listen to him. I can remember the time when he was sick on an egg flip.
Yes, I understand you own a kennels, Miss Doyle.
Yes, she does. She's got a little bit of a problem, haven't you, Kitty? Tell Roger, dear.
Well, if you're sure you don't mind my bothering you with it.
Oh, Roger's delighted. It's good practice for him, isn't it, darling?
Mother, please. Yes, Miss Doyle?
Well, I breed poodles locally, only in a small way. And I sold a puppy to this... Well, I'm told they call her a pop singer.
Pop singer?
Mandy MacLeod.
Mandy MacLeod? I've seen her on television several times.
I'm afraid I seldom look in.
Oh, yes, she's very well known. I'd be delighted to help her.
Mr. Thursday, she's suing me.
Oh.
She was being photographed near the old watermill in rather scanty attire for a Sunday paper, I think. And they saw my kennels and thought of giving her a dog to hold.
To keep her warm at first.
She liked the puppy so much she wanted to buy it. Insisted on giving me 100 guineas.
Show Roger her photograph, dear.
Oh, yes, I'd like to see that.
It's of the dog, dear.
Oh.
Yes. She sent me the photo to prove that the poor animal had grown up into a rather strange shape. Here we are.
Exhibit A, my lud.
Mother, don't do that, please. Thank you, Miss Dora. Good Lord. Is it the animal in question?
Yes. She claimed it wasn't a pedigree dog I sold her.
No. Looks more like a pedigree yak.
She compared it to a bison. But I can't understand it. It was by Voltaire Saint-Germain out of Champagne Pom-Pom.
Was it? Good Lord. Well, how did the yak get in?
I don't understand it. All the other puppies were perfect.
Were they? I mean, I have heard that accidents happen. You know, breeding accidents. You know, sorry, Mother, forgive me. But between the female dogs at certain times of the year...
It doesn't matter what time of year it was, Roger. There's never been a yak near the watermill.
Please, I'm trying to concentrate. I suppose Miss Cloud repudiates the transaction, Miss Doyle.
She certainly does. She wants her money back. And damages. £200. And I just haven't got it.
Well, who's appearing for you?
No one. I can't afford it. Every penny is sunk in the kennel.
Oh, Roger.
Well, there's legal aid, Miss Doyle.
But that's £50. And I might have to pay the £200 as well. I shall go to Holloway.
Oh, of course you won't. Roger, tell Miss Doyle that doesn't happen these days.
Good heavens, no. You can just go bankrupt.
And she loses her kennels and the dogs, if that's the sort of thing they teach you in law school.
Mother, I have to explore every angle.
Yes, dear, of course we want you to do that, but we want you to do it in court.
Quite. What? You mean take Miss Doyle's case? Well, I'd like to, naturally.
No, Mr. Thursby, I couldn't pay you anything.
You could give him a poodle if you want. You'd like that, wouldn't you, darling?
Please, look, believe me, Miss Doyle, it's not a question of fees. In this whole situation, I would naturally be happy to waive fees, but I have to be instructed by a solicitor.
Uncle George is a solicitor. Roger's so lucky, Kitty. All his briefs have come from his Uncle George.
No. No, I couldn't allow it. Taking him off all those big cases where he earns so much.
Well,
Roger doesn't earn anything. He's just a pupil. But you'd do it for the experience, wouldn't you, darling?
Mother, I've already said that I'd like to help Miss Doyle, but I do have considerable expenses.
Of course you do, dear. I hadn't forgotten. Now then, where's my bag?
Mother, what are you doing?
There we are, darling. Now, there's an extra pound for being so kind to Miss Doyle.
But, Mother, I can't take money from you.
But you always do, darling. Have you forgotten? It's Friday.
Ah, Mr. Blaker.
Yes, Alec?
Here's a new brief for you.
30 guineas. Well, 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 it's nice to know my true worth is at last being recognized.
Well, it's Mr. Grimes' true worth, really. You see, the brief was for him, but he's got so much on at the moment, so I argued the solicitors into letting you have it.
But they make it sound as though you had to talk yourself hoarse.
Yes, nice little case, really. You a dog lover?
Not really. I usually lose my money on the GGs. Why, is this a nobbling case?
No, not that sort of dog. No, it's a domestic dog. Then have a look at the instructions. You'll probably enjoy yourself with this one.
30 guineas. £31.10. That's £1.10 towards the rent and the rest on a little light decadence.
Yes, Alec tells me you're taking the dog breed. Very good of you.
Hello, Grimes.
It's a pedigree dispute, you see. Is the animal what they say it is, or is he what he looks like? I mean, you need to bone up on your veterinary principles. Here, borrow this copy of veterinary law.
Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, by the way, the plaintiff is a Miss Mandy McLeod.
Mandy McLeod?
Yes. My young daughter tells me I should have heard of her. She's a pop-topper or a top-popper.
Heavens, yes. Some disc jockey spins her platter every day of the week, and she's a two-way family favourite on Sundays. Do you mean they've never caught her rendering of Do It to Me and I'll Do It to You?
Well, that has been denied me so far. I take it you'll accept the brief.
Oh, I'll get around the chamber straight away. Just imagine it. In this room, me and Mandy McLeod.
And her solicitor.
Oh, yes, I've forgotten about the gooseberry. Look, has she got a case, do you think?
Oh, an excellent one, my dear fellow. Excellent, excellent. Court's always very sympathetic to unfortunate people who get sold a pup. Hello, morning, Thursby. You look really down in the dumps.
I've got a brief.
Oh, splendid, my dear. Splendid. That's the way your fame must be spreading, eh?
Yes, I believe it's even spread as far as his Uncle George.
Look, it so happens that Uncle George was instructed through me. I was approached personally to take the case.
Good, 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 good. Well, if you want any advice, I'm always at your disposal.
Yeah, but there is a point or two, actually, Grant.
Well, you must tell the tale. Tell the judge the tale, my dear fellow. Tell him the tale.
Yes.
Ah, you can tell him the dog's tale, too.
Henry. Henry?
Hmm? Oh, sorry, dear boy. Other people have briefs, too.
Yeah, but when you've a moment to spare...
Yes, certainly. You make a list of your queries. I'll mull them over.
It's not queries, exactly. You might be able to suggest an alternative line of defense.
Oh, defending, are you? Oh, I'm for the plaintiff in mind. Thank God for that. I wouldn't have taken the brief for the other side.
Really?
Oh, they're as good as in the mincing machine already. It's money for old rope.
Lucky you.
Luckier than you know. Just wait till you hear the name of my client.
Well, could it wait, Henry? Sorry, I've got to search the bookcase.
Oh, right you are.
Where is it? Henry?
Hmm?
I thought we had a copy of veterinary law.
Yes, I've got it. Shan't be long.
You've got it?
Yes.
Oh. Henry?
Yes?
This case of yours?
Yes.
It's a veterinary case?
Yes.
Oh.
It's yours?
Veterinary?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Cat? Dog. You're the cat?
Dog.
Oh. Roger, old boy.
Yes, Henry?
Did you want to ask me something?
About my case?
About your case.
Oh, yes, yes, thanks, Henry. Well, it seems this pop singer...
Mandy McLeod?
Yes.
Quiet, quiet! Not another word! My ears are sealed.
But we're both in the same...
Ah, shut up! You mustn't talk about it. You'll get us both disbarred.
I wasn't going to talk about it. I know the rules as well as you do. I was merely going to say, since we're both in the same...
It doesn't matter, as long as we don't discuss it. Henceforth, we're both incommunicado till we face each other across the court.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine, fine, just as long as you don't think that because I wanted your advice...
Keep before the judge, my dear fellow. Tell him the tale, just tell him the tale. I wouldn't bother going to court, old man. You haven't a hope.
Are we to discuss the case, Henry?
Well, we can discuss damages.
What?
Well, to be absolutely frank, I think my client's claim for damages is a bit over the top.
Is this a trick?
Trick? Good Lord, I don't need tricks to win this case. It's open and shut. You have them earthly, but could drag on all day. And my client, Miss Mandy McLeod, you know, she has an appointment in town.
How important?
Very important. She wants to take me to lunch. So, if you'll submit a judgment for 100 guineas in costs, we can have a nice little statement made in open court.
I can make a nice little statement here and now. My client can't afford 100 guineas.
Well, she'll have to in the end, and if she's got to afford it at tea time, she might just as well cough up before lunch.
Impressions count, I imagine, even in a county court. Well, I mean, Roger's case must be half won the moment the judge sees his open, honest face. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Well, you are a couple of glum ones.
Do we go straight into court?
No, no, Kitty. Roger told us to wait for him out here. Don't look so worried, dear. Roger was born with a legal brain. I told you so, haven't I, Sally?
Yes, Mrs. Thursday.
Born with a legal brain. When he was just a tiny boy and he'd done something wrong, his father would ask him, well, Roger, and what have you got to say for yourself? And little Roger would stand there in his rumpus suit and his white socks and plead his case with all the skill of a senior QC.
And what did his father do?
Sent him to bed without his supper. He was born without a legal brain.
Here he comes.
Miss Doyle. Miss Doyle. Mr. Blagrove has approached me for a settlement.
What did I say, Kitty? They've given in already.
I'm afraid not, Mother.
I don't quite understand.
Well, in a nutshell, Miss Doyle...
Oh, this is Mr. Butterworth's managing clerk.
How do you do? In a nutshell, if you lose the case, Miss Doyle, you will have to pay £200 in costs. But they're willing to settle for £105 in costs.
But I haven't got £105.
You're not letting Henry frighten you, are you, Roger?
Certainly not.
What did Henry say?
What? That he didn't think they'd get any damages, but they were bound to get the 100 guineas in costs.
So he's offering you precisely nothing. You can't do any worse if you fight.
Yes, I hadn't thought of it like that.
Well, what do you advise, sir?
What? Miss Doyle, I advise you to fight.
Repeat the words on the card, Miss McLeod.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Is that on the card, Miss McLeod?
Pardon, Your Honor?
Does the printed matter on the card you hold in your hand include your plea for assistance to the deity? I should perhaps remind you that you are before the judge of Edgeley, not the sheriff of Los Angeles.
You are Miss Vera Amanda McLeod?
Yes, but I'm never called Vera, only Mandy.
In my court, you will be called Miss McLeod.
And did you, on the 15th of September, purchase a poodle puppy called Profiterole from Miss Catherine Doyle of the Watermill Kennels, Raynham?
Yes.
Is the usher holding the dog?
Yes, that's Fluff.
And when you bought it, did you anticipate...
Just a moment, Mr. Blagrove. What was that Miss McLeod said?
Yes, that's Fluff, Your Honor.
Fluff?
She calls the animal Fluff, Your Honor.
Well, I couldn't call it Profiterole, could I?
Don't ask me questions, Miss McLeod. Just answer counsel's. Known as Fluff.
Mr. McLeod, when you bought the puppy, did you rely on your own judgment to choose a suitable one, or did you rely on Miss Doyle's?
On her, of course. I don't know anything about breeding.
No, quite.
She'd take it back if it wasn't what she said it was.
Why did you buy the dog?
Well, after they had this idea of putting it in the photograph.
My client was having a professional photograph taken in the kennels area, Your Honor.
Me holding the dog. dog up, you see, like this. She said it'd be just right for that.
What was this for, a dog food advertisement?
No, for a Sunday newspaper, Your Honor.
But I fell for the dog straight away. I thought, oh, you poor little thing. I can't bear to leave you. You look so tiny and frightened, just like a ball of wool. That's why I called it Fluffy.
Mr. Blagrove, do we have to go into these canine christening details?
Your Honor, please. Miss McCloud, there was also a professional consideration behind the purchase of the dog, wasn't there?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, it's gimmicks that count nowadays, and I thought, if I took this poodle everywhere, well, it'd be a sort of catch-it.
A sort of what?
Cachet, Your Honor, an enhancement to my client's reputation.
I am well aware of the meaning of cachet, Mr. Blagrove. It was your client's interpretation that I misunderstood.
Your Honor, what did you pay for the puppy, Miss McCloud?
100 guineas, and look at it, just look at it.
I and the court have already enjoyed that gruesome experience, thank you very much, Mr. Cloud.
Well, it's no use to me, is it? I'd be a laughing stock if I opened a new shop with that under my arm. I want my money back so I can buy a real dog.
Yes, quite so.
One I can cuddle in public.
Yes. And what have you lost so far, Miss McCloud, by not having the type of dog you thought you were getting?
Well, heaven knows how many newspaper pictures I might have been in. I had Fluff lined up for 2 premieres, a garden party, a discotheque with a topless disc jockey, and last...
Thank you, Miss McCloud.
Mr. Thursday?
Yes, Your Honor?
Mr. Blagrove is seated.
Yes, I was just making a note.
And it'd be pleasant to have someone else on their feet in this court besides the usher and that dog.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Miss McCloud, you chose this particular puppy, didn't you?
No, she did.
I suggest she didn't.
Well, she did.
I put it to you, she didn't.
She did.
She didn't.
She did.
Really, Mr. How many more times? This is not the centre court at Wimbledon, you know.
I'm sorry, Your Honour. Let me ask you another thing, Mr. Cloud. My client only asked 20 guineas for the dog.
Yes, that's right.
Now, isn't it true that you insisted on paying 100 guineas for it simply so that you could tell everybody what an expensive dog you've got?
Yes, that was why. My agent said it would be good for a couple of quotes. Like the time he got a gorilla to snatch one piece of my 2 piece. I don't see what it has to do with the case.
Neither do I. What is the relevance, Mr. Thursday?
Well, Your Honor, my client only asked 20 guineas and the plaintiff insisted on paying 100.
Miss McCloud wants to know what that has got to do with the case, but very much more important, so do I.
Well, Your Honor, it seemed to be material.
Material to what?
Well, Your Honor, I won't press the point.
You can press it as much as you like, so long as it's relevant.
I think I'll leave it, Your Honor. Mr. McCloud, you mentioned the word gimmick just now. Now, a gimmick, as I understand it, is something out of the ordinary that commands attention. Well, wouldn't an unusual dog make a highly successful gimmick?
And what is the materiality of that question? Now, rise for lunch now. Perhaps you'll give me an answer when we resume. I must say, Mr. Thursby, now I've seen the animal. I'm looking forward immensely to hearing what your defense is.
Doyle, do you really call that a pedigree dog? Just look at it.
It was by Volterra Saint-Germain out of Champagne Pom-Pom. They're both champions.
Madam, I don't doubt that it was out of Champagne Pom-Pom, but I am suggesting that Volterra Saint-Germain has grounds for divorce.
But you're absolutely wrong. It's one of those things. It must be a throwback.
How far back, madam? Our dogs descended from yaks?
I mean, it's a freak, Your Honor. That sort of thing happens occasionally.
Yes, madam, but I suggest to you that the explanation is far less technical. You accidentally left the gate open and Champagne Pom-Pom was assaulted by a low-class stranger.
Nothing of the sort. She was in a locked pen and I keep the key.
Love needs no locksmith, Miss Doyle.
I beg your pardon?
Dogs will jump through a circus hoop for a lump of sugar. How much higher might they not jump for the chance of a quick flirtation with the aristocracy?
The pen is 9 feet high.
Well, I'm sorry, but Fluff's father must have got him somehow.
Mr. Blagrove, I'm aware that car thieves carry all sorts of keys on their person. And I take it the dogs have not yet acquired a similar technique.
Your Honor must know that I'm not suggesting that.
Well, if you aren't, and I believe the defendant, where's your case on pedigree?
Oh, right there, Your Honor, standing on all fours beside the usher.
That isn't good enough, Mr. Blagrove. We all know that freaks do occur.
Yes, Your Honor, but can you be certain that the defendant never left the bitch unattended?
I haven't got to be certain. I'm only concerned with probabilities. This is not a criminal court.
Even so, Your Honor, which is the more probable? That dog is a yak's descendant, or that the descendant, on some occasions she's now forgotten, did leave Fluff's mother unchaperoned? Which is the more probable?
That depends on my view of her evidence, doesn't
Your Honor,
it?
Could I just...
Just a minute, Mr. Thursday. Mr. Blagrove, are you intending to leap any more further hurdles with the ease of your canine adulterer?
No, Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Thursday.
Thank you, Your Honor. Miss Doyle, I forgot to ask you earlier. How did the rest of the litter turn out?
Perfect.
Did you say perfect?
Everyone, Your Honor. Two are champions.
Well, Mr. Blagrove, if that's so, the father can be no low-class stranger.
Want to settle now, old boy?
Mr. Thursday! If you wish to talk to Mr. Blagrove, kindly wait until you've finished addressing me.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, Mr. Blagrove, what do you say? I'm satisfied that the bargain was for this dog, and I'm also satisfied that its pedigree has been proved. Have you any further submissions to make on behalf of your client?
Well, I would like to ask Miss Doyle whether she does not think it reasonable to return my client's money when she has given her something worth nothing and received 100 guineas.
That's got nothing to do with it, Mr. Blagrove. You have to establish that your client was entitled to repudiate the transaction.
If Your Honor pleases.
You may stand down, Miss Doyle. Mr. Thursday?
Your Honor, I'm sure that my client, being a person of the integrity to which Your Honor so kindly refers, would be more than willing to exchange the dog for another puppy to make amends for her unwitting breach of contract.
Breach of contract, Mr. Thursday?
Your Honor...
But I thought your case was that there was no breach of contract.
Your Honor, if Your Honor will
allow me, I've forgotten my second ground of claim. Mr. Thursby has very generously reminded me. I'm very much obliged to him.
And what is the second ground?
It's been proved, has it not, that the purpose which this dog was sold has made known to the defendant. It was essential that it should look well on photographs and public appearances. The defendant contracted to sell a dog fit for this specific purpose, and she failed to do so. My client was entitled to reject the dog as soon as it showed itself unsuitable.
I take that point, Mr. Blagrove. Mr. Thursday, would you say that Miss McLeod got what she contracted for?
Well, it's a nice, friendly dog.
Yes, but the contract was not for a friendly dog.
My lord, my client couldn't possibly tell he was going to turn out like a yak. I like this. You're all right.
What has that got to do with it? If you sell a man a defective article, it's no defense to say you didn't know that it was defective. This is no reflection on the defendant's honesty. It's just pure bad luck. But I can't see how she can avoid liability. She agreed she'd take it back if it didn't turn out to be suitable for the requirements of photographs. Anything else to say, Mr. Thursday?
No, Your Honor.
Very well. There must be judgment for the plaintiff for £105 with costs. I can't see any case for anything except purely nominal damages.
My client has no wish to seem vindictive, Your Honor. She will not ask for damages.
Good, no damages. Anything else? Right, I'll rise.
He gave it to Henry. Gave him the whole case on a silver salver. Oh,
now then, Sally, he fought a splendid battle. It was just a... slip of the tongue.
He can't afford to make slips of the tongue. And poor Miss Doyle can't afford it, can she? What's she going to do?
Oh, I know. Poor Kitty. But she gets the poodle back, doesn't she? Without a stain on its character.
Here they come.
My territory. I should never have taken the case, Miss Doyle. I've not experience enough.
Nonsense, Mr. Thursby. You did magnificent.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
It was a slip of the tongue.
There.
Didn't I say? What will the cost be? Do you know?
Well, about £80 or £90, maybe more.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, Mrs. Thursby. Sally.
I could hit you, Henry.
Mother, please. Well, Henry, you bought a block of salt for our wounds or what?
Now, don't be personal, old boy. We both had a job to do. And if you can spare a moment, it might be that I can ease your client's burden a shade.
Really? Excuse me.
Yes, of course, dear. We'll wait here.
Now, technically, of course, old man, ownership of the dog reverts to Miss Doyle.
Oh, splendid. She's always wanted to start a zoo.
Exactly. It's not much use to her, is it? It could unsettle her other dogs. They might all want to look like that. Yes, well, my client's prepared to give yours a fiver for the animal, and that could be not close to 100 guineas.
Leaving her 95 to find, which he hasn't got.
It's better than nothing, old boy. Take it or leave it.
All right, I'll go and ask her. She wouldn't go to a tenner, would she?
Ah, afraid not. I can't think why she's willing to part with a fiver, but you know women, they do get fond of the strangest specimens.
Yes, all right, well,
well, go on, don't just stand there.
She's fond of the dog, is she?
What?
Well, let's say that your client's motive in offering the fiver is not purely unselfish.
Oh, I don't know. I think a heart of gold probably beats under the silver lame.
What did she say, Henry?
I told you she liked to keep it.
You said she was fond of it.
Well, slip of the tongue, old boy. We all make them.
Yes, we do, and they don't help very much, do they?
All right, all right. I'll see if I can get a tenner out of her.
Just a moment, Henry.
What?
I know what's happened. Now it's come to the point. This Mandy can't face being parted from the dog, can't she? No matter what it looks like.
Well, she has got rather attached to it.
Come off it, Henry. She'd give anything to keep it. Now, isn't that what's happened?
15.
Nope.
20.
Nope.
All right, you name it.
Exactly £105 plus cost.
Are you joking?
Look, look. You see, the usher's taking the dog to Miss Doyle. Now, just have a look at Miss McLeod.
Nothing, nothing, darling. Come to mommy.
Sorry, miss. It belongs to Miss Doyle now.
Well, Henry?
She'll pay. Oh, women. Once she realized she'd lose the dog, she found she couldn't bear to be parted from it.
Yes, well, tell her we feel exactly the same about our money. Excuse me, Henry. Miss Doyle.
What did he say, Roger?
Is it good news? Well, I've come to an agreement with my colleague.
Yes?
His client is willing to pay 100 guineas plus costs for the return of the dog.
Roger!
Oh, well, don't, darling!
Well, you just hand over the dog's lead, Miss Doyle, and perhaps you will. Well, I'm Fluff. Henry, Fluff is all yours.
Thank you very much.
Very sorry you had to miss lunch. Why, but perhaps Miss McLeod will take you out to dinner. After all, you only cost her 100 guineas, our cost, your fee and her train fare.
Excuse me, will you? Come along, animal. Come on, don't just sit there. Mummy's waiting. Now then. Now then, look at me like that. Down, Fluff.
Good heavens.
It bit Henry's hand.
Yes, oh, well, you know what they all say.
What?
Pedigree will out.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Bladegrove, Richard Waring, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Ann Davis, Mandy McLeod, Amy McDonald, the judge, Richard Wattis, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Kitty Doyle, Anne Way. Other parts were played by John Bentley. Breach of Contract was written and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.